the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change, and that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty wise.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of the Almighty, Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, salamun alaikum. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. And I invite you to be with this episode of today's special under the title of Characteristics of Islamic Daily Life.
I never thought about all the things you have given to me. Never thanked you once. I was too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you. Until I took the first step, and that's when you opened the doors for me. Now, Allah, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
today, Thursday, is the 13th of Shawwal, 1444 of Islamic lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 14th of Ordibehesht, 1402 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar, and the 4th of May, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio, and we'll listen to chapter Al-Isra, verse 53 from the Holy Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقل لعبادي يقولوا التي هي أحسن إن الشيطان ينزغ بينهم إن الشيطان كان للإنسان عدوا مبينا
And tell my servants to say that which is best. Indeed, Satan induces dissension among them. Indeed, Satan is ever, to mankind, a clear enemy.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy
Quran.
Sometimes the believers who had recently accepted the faith following their previous ancient habits used to provoke aggression against those who opposed them. Moreover, those humiliating expressions of the dissidents towards the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, such as sorcerer, insane, soothsaying, poet, and etc., sometimes caused the believers to lose control and raise up against the opponents in a verbal attack. The Quran seeks to hinder them from such things, persuading them to call with leniency and selection of the softest words so as to prevent the Satan from inciting corruption.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Warta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب
Again, we come back to our topic, characteristics of Islamic daily life. If we are looking for ways to live as Muslims, we need to look no further than to try to be faithful and prompt to the five daily prayers. By doing this, our whole day revolves around Allah, and all the activities of day, all our thoughts and all our intentions become devoted to Him. It is only natural for us as humans to get caught up in the rushing around and the busyness of the day. It is only natural that the television news and the newspapers will affect us by their stories of tragedy and disasters. This is why so many people in the world become depressed and anxious. We too, as Muslims, might fall into the trap of getting caught up in the affairs of the world if it were not for the five daily prayers. The Adhan, the call to prayer, urges us to rush and take shelter from the cares of the world and to take refuge in Almighty Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we are going to talk about the functionality of religion in our today's life. Islam, with a view of the world of the hereafter, wants to organize our world in such a way that our hereafter is secured. This is the theoretical aspect of the problem. It requires that there is no opportunity for this. But it is also necessary to mention that, as it was said earlier, religion is the truth that brings man from the region in which man is created and those ends of which he was created from. The truth refers to all dimensions of human existence in all conditions and situations. Of course, the final version of the truth that religion is final in the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam includes all dimensions of man in all conditions. But from the practical point of view, this point was emphasized at the Davos meeting that I was referring to. It is that the challenge of modernity and religion is not a challenge that only Islam faces. Rather, all religions are facing it. But the experience of the Islamic Republic of Iran has been that we have presented a modern government based on religious concepts in 40 years.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. In this part, we'll look at observance of taqwa. Dear brothers and sisters, from the daily routines of successful Muslim, we can understand that there is a tool which is provided by Islamic teachings to help keep a Muslim on the path of the righteous. This is the concept of taqwa. The word taqwa can best be defined as the fear of Allah. However, this is not to say that one should live in the dread of the Almighty or that Allah is a dreadful being. Rather, it should be regarded as the fear of the loss of Allah's love. Allah's love for His creature is boundless. But the Muslim should be aware that if she or he disregards His commands, she or he may lose His protection and His bounty. No one can become truly righteous until taqwa has entered every facet of their daily life. Thus, if you remember that Allah sees your every action and hears your every word at all times, you would steer clear of wrongdoing. All kinds of problems can be avoided or resolved if every action taken is based on taqwa.
Rabbuna Rabbul Qulubi wa huwa 'allamul ghuyub fi shuruqi wa fil ghurubi nuruhu yahdi al-'asa. Rabbuna Rabbul Qulubi wa huwa 'allamul ghuyub fi shuruqi wa fil ghurubi nuruhu yahdi al-'asa. عفوه خير وجود فارتجي دوما رضا.
This is today's special, which looks at amazing tips for new Muslims, and one of them is forcing ourselves to go to the masjid. Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, says, "The person who receives the greatest reward for the salah is one who lives the farthest and has the farthest to walk." Going on Fridays is a given, but I would also recommend trying to fit a few prayers at least per week in the masjid, in the mosque. This will open many doors for you and will, inshallah, grant many good deeds to our account. You will meet people who are connected to Islam. Networking opportunities are more readily available, and you are bound to make long-lasting friends. This is one of loving things about Islam, that you can almost always find people in the masjid. Although this may be hard initially, try and go to the masjid. The payoff will be huge if you just pray and leave right after.
Thank you. So Imam Raza alayhi salam said that a mu'min cannot be a true mu'min unless he has three qualities, one from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one quality is to adapt from Rasulullah, and the third one was sunnatun min waliyihi. A third quality he has to adapt from the Imam, from the Ma'soom, from the Ahlul Bayt. فَأَمَّا السُّنَّ مِنْ وَلِيِّهِ. And what is that quality? He says, فَالصَّبْرُ فِي الْبَعْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. To inculcate this quality of sabr and patience at all times. بَعْسَاء وَالضَّرَّاءِ are distressful situations. We can divide it one into financial stress and other is physical stress. Something to do with health, for example. And in all these kinds of situation, you know, the issue of maintaining sabr. When we say sabr and patience, it's sometimes difficult in a secular environment to think about it in that way. Many people think sabr and patience means weakness. You know, I think even in Urdu we have a saying that oh, bichara sabr ke alawa kya kar sakta hai. So when you say bichara means he doesn't really have any power to do anything and therefore he does sabr. So sabr becomes something which is sign of weakness. Whereas in Islam when we talk about sabr, sabr is not actually a sign of weakness. It is actually power and strength. You might give in that stressful situation. Do things which are not right. But you still maintain your own dignity. You maintain your faith. And you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you face the difficulty. This is not weakness. This is actually power and strength. And so we have to realize that when we talk about the issue of, you know, sabr and patience, this is a positive quality that our eighth Imam is saying.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. From IRIB English Radio, inshallah, we'll continue this interesting topic on the next episode. Till then, we leave you in Allah's blessings. Have a nice time.
They told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Salam, and let us start the day by deeply thinking over the wise words spoken by Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. Do not disrespect your weak friends. God will surely disgrace him whoever disgraces a believer and will not gather them in the same place on the day of resurrection unless repentance is shown.
Thank you. Take pieces of bread from me. And your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Ali alayhi salam. This hadith is about the necessity of government. Abul Bakhtari, a transmitter of hadith, narrates the following. He says, "A man entered the mosque and said, 'There is no rule save Allah's, la hukma illa lillah.'" It's the first verse of the Holy Quran. Then another man repeated what this person was saying. He said, "There is no rule save Allah's, la hukma illa lillah." This person reiterated what this person said. When Imam Ali alayhi salam heard what these people were saying, he said the following: "There is no rule save Allah's. Allah's promise is indeed true. And do not let yourself be upset by those who have no conviction." This is the continuation of the verse, "La hukma illa lillah, inna wa'da Allahi haq, wa la yastakhifannaka alladheena la yuqinoon." Then the Imam said, "You do not know what these men are saying," meaning these people are saying something, but you do not understand what their intention is. In effect, they are saying, the Imam says, in effect, they are saying, there should not be any government. There should be anarchy. People should be allowed to do what they want. Nobody should be over us and governing us. We should be allowed to do what we do, whatever we want to do. Then the Imam said, "O people, you are not set straight without a ruler, be he pious or wicked." The people replied, "We understand about the pious, but what about the wicked? How can it be that the wicked could set us straight? How could they rectify our affairs?" He said, "Under whom the believer toils and the wicked thrives, and Allah decrees the final outcome. Your roads become safe, your markets operate, your booty is collected, your enemy is fought, and your weak is protected from the powerful among you." Meaning, even the wicked, the ruler, he does these things, he gets these things, he gets these affairs done. It's possible that he may be wicked, But under him, these important tasks are accomplished. And without him, none of these things could occur. If there was nobody, not even a wicked ruler above us, right, there would be utter chaos in society. Nobody would be safe. Markets wouldn't operate, right? The enemy would be allowed to attack, and the country would be undefended from the attacks of the external enemy. Right? So it's necessary for there to be a government. And anarchy, pure and utter anarchy, is something under which a country cannot survive. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the necessity of government and the impossibility of utter anarchy in society. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. So here we are with Brother Ali Nasir, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Rohullah. Assalamu alaikum, brothers, and welcome. And how are you, Hassan?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
That's good. Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Thank you so much. Welcome. I really welcome you all. So, inshallah, today we'll talk about the two verses on Surah Ali Imran on page 61, ayah number 89, and also ayah number 90. So, brothers and sisters, as you listen to Arab English Radio, please turn to page 61 of the Quran Kareem. Have it with you. And ayah 89 and 90. So, okay, lesson ones. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إلا الذين تابوا من بعد ذلك وأصلحوا فإن الله غفور رحيم إن الذين كفروا بعد إيمانهم ثم ازدادوا كفرا لن تقبل توبتهم وأولئك هم الضالون. So, everybody, let's listen to the recitation.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إلا الذين تابوا من بعد ذلك وأصلحوا فإن الله غفور رحيم إن الذين كفروا بعد إيمانهم ثم ازدادوا كفرا لن تقبل توبتهم وأولئك هم الضالون.
That was nice recitation. Okay, let's everybody now mention the important points in these two verses, okay? Allah Almighty says in ayah 89, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ وَأَصْلَحُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. In the previous verses, Allah Almighty was talking about the murtadin, yes? So those who commit irtidad, yeah, apostasy, and they disbelieve after they believe, yeah? So their punishment was that, what we mentioned, لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَالْمَلَائِكَ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, yes? And here Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. In Ba'di Thalik, okay? Except for those who what? For those who? Huh? Tabu. They turn back. Yes? They turn back. Illa alladhina tabu. Except such as repent. Such a person, okay? Who repents after that. After what? They disbelieved. Okay? After they irtidad. They make repentance. Wa aslahu. And they make what? Amends or good deeds. They become good people, okay? They become believers, true believers. They do not do it like tomorrow, day after tomorrow, okay? They again turn back to disbelieving group of people, yes? No, they do good deeds, okay? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ وَأَصْلَحُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. For Allah, because Allah is all forgiving and all merciful, okay? Allah may forgive them. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Now another group of people. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ. Indeed, for sure, those who turn faithless after their faith. They were faithful and they turned faithless, okay? They disbelieved after they believed. بَعْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ ثُمَّ ازْدَادُوا كُفْرًا. ثم ازدادوا كفرا. They advance in faithlessness, and their disbelieving, okay, increases. Okay, instead of being doing good deeds and making repentance, okay, they increase the advance in being faithless. Okay, these type of people, لن تقبل توبتهم. Never their repentance will be accepted. The repentance will never be accepted. Okay. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الضَّالُّونَ. And it is they who are the astray. It's they who are the astray. Those who are the wrongdoers, okay? The wrongdoers, or we say they, huh? Misguided people. So guys, Allah Almighty mentioned the punishment of someone who is disbelieving after they believe, yes, different groups of people, some of them who repent after their disbelieving, okay, after their irtidad, some of them who do not, yes, those who repent and they become good people, yeah, Allah Almighty may forgive them, and those who do not repent, they just increase on their faithlessness, Allah Almighty will never forgive them, okay, they are tawbah, even if they repent, because they know they are just joking with Allah Almighty, yes, they were just trying to making fun of the Prophet, making fun of the Islam, making fun of the Iman, okay? Because why do they do so? Why do they make repentance after they disbelieved? It's because they see that they have nothing else, they have no help, they become helpless, okay? That's why they start believing again, okay? Otherwise, if they have everything, if they have car, if they have money, if they have a house, okay, if they have buildings, if their life is going well, okay, they will never repent. But when they face challenges, difficulties, they say, forgive me, Allah. Munibina ila ilayhim, okay? Munibina ila rabbihim, okay? Tadarru'. They will ask for repentance, okay? If they face problems. Otherwise, no. They will. When we ask them, who is Allah? I don't know Allah. Who is Allah? When they are in good mood, okay? When they have money, when they have everything ready, okay? They will never talk about Allah. Even a single rakat of prayer, they will not do. But when they face a lot of difficulties, okay? They go to the masjid, they become good people, they ask Allah to forgive them, they donate these things. Come on, bro, this doesn't work, okay? If you do not. After Allah Almighty solves their problem, again they become disbelieving to Allah Almighty. So this type of people are just making fun of the religion, fun of repentance, fun of Allah Almighty. So, لَن تُقْبَلْ تَوْبَتُهُمْ وَأُولَيْكَ هُمُ الضَّالُّونَ. May Allah Almighty guide us, inshallah. May Allah Almighty give us a strong belief when we say, Ihdina الصراط المستقيم. It does not mean, oh Allah, guide us to the right path. We are on the wrong path. No, we are on the right path. Okay? But it means that, oh Allah Almighty, make our belief stronger. We should stay here in the right path. Okay? Make this dua, inshallah, always. Thank you so much. Guys, I don't want to talk more. I ask you to refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, for more and details, for more detailed explanations, inshallah.
Qur'ani fi qalbi dawman yaghmurni min fayd diya ayatul
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
Now we will move on to the important tajweed rules. And Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir are here, inshallah, to help us. Yes?
Yes.
إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ وَأَصْلَحُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا Ali Nasir earlier asked me a question that, what is that alif doing in these types of words? كَفَرُوا ثُمَّ ازْدَادُوا Yes? There is an alif after it, yes? Tabu, after waw, there is an alif. Aslahu, there is an alif. Yes, in the next word. Kafaru, there is an alif. Thumma zdadu, there is an alif after waw. Yeah? Ali Nasir asked me this question. Yes, Ali Nasir?
Yes.
Before the class you asked me.
Yeah.
So I will mention it here. That alif is a silent alif. You don't have to read it. Okay? Some say this is for decoration. Some say that this is there just to make sure. Sometimes some words are muthanna, tathniya words, okay? They will be mixed up with them. So that's why this alif is there, okay? And it doesn't have anything to do really, okay? You can skip. You should skip it, okay? There is a sukun on the top, which means don't read this alif. Kafaruwano, okay?
Yes.
Ya'tabuwano. There is no alif, okay? Suppose there is no. Okay, ignore it. Ignore it, just. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِن بَعْدِ مِن بَعْدِ Do you see, Hassan, a baby meme, a small meme on the top?
Yes.
Noon? مِن بَعْدِ, yes? مِن بَعْدِ So that says, indicates that the rule إِقْلَاب must be applied here. مِن بَعْدِ نُون ساكين plus ba. What do you do?
مِن بَعْدِ
مِن بَعْدِ Good job. Change the noon into a hidden meme sound. The ikhfa of meme. Can you pronounce meme? Say it, meme.
Meme.
The last letter in the word meme is meme, yes?
Yes.
Meme, meme, ya, meme, meme. So now, read it, meme, but the last meme, do not read it. When you say meme, your lips touch. Yeah?
Yes.
Your lips. Two lips touch. Mm. Upside, up, the upper one and the lower one. They touch. But when you say, try this way, do not let your tongue and your lips touch, okay? Just pronounce the meme, but do not let them. Meow, meow. Do not let the lips touch. Huh? Put a tissue between your lips. Meow, meow. This is called ikhfa. Ikhfa. Sorry, iqlab. Okay? Iqlab means you change the noon sound into a hidden meme sound this way. Meow, ba'di. Min ba'di. Do not hide the sound of noon. Replace it with a meme, with a hidden meme sound, but with a hidden meme sound. Min ba'di thalika. Read everyone. Min ba'di thalika.
Min ba'di thalika.
Ahsantum. Wa aslahu fa inna Allaha ghafurur rahim. Nun mushaddad. Fa inna nun mushaddad. Allah is pronounced with a heavy sound. There is a fatha before because of that. Ghafurun rahim. Ra ra. They will be merged. Okay. Tanween will be merged with the ra. Adgham is applied. Ghafurur rahim. Next ayah. Inna alladhina kafaru ba'da imanihim thumma Izdadu, it is the word izdadu. Hamzatul wasl will be skipped when you join two words. Thummazdadu. Thummazdadu. Kufran, tanween plus lam. Tanween plus lam, merging idgham. But without ghunna, yes? No nasal sound. Just merge them. And do not prolong it for two counts. Just one count. Just merge them together. Thummazdadu kufral. Kufral. Lan tuqbala. Lan tuqbala. Noon sakin plus ta ties from the rest of the letters. Hassan. The rule?
Ikhfa.
Good job. Lan tuqbala. Hide the sound of noon. Hiding means do not correctly pronounce it. Okay? Hide the sound of noon. لن تقبل توبتهم وأولئك. Of course, the mad is wajib. We've mentioned it many times. هم الضالون. This mad is mad lazim, mandatory. Because you have a heavy letter. After a heavy letter, you have a mad. And after that mad, you have
تشديد.
A مشدد letter. A letter which is مشدد. So this mad is mandatory. Six counts. I will read this to Ayatain, inshallah. Repeat after me. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Illa alladhina tabu min ba'di dhalika wa aslahu fa inna Allaha ghafurur rahim.
إلا الذين تابوا من بعد ذلك وأصلحوا فإن الله غفور رحيم
إن الذين كفروا بعد إيمانهم ثم ازدادوا كفرا لن تقبل توبتهم وأولئك هم الضالون
إن الذين كفروا بعد إيمانهم ثم ازدادوا كفرا لن تقبل توبتهم وأولئك هم الضالون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Ahsantum, mashallah. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for being with us up to this point. Allah bless you, inshallah. That's it from us for today. See you, inshallah, in the coming sessions. Thanks to IRIB English Radio, Sevier International Schools for Corporations. Thank you so much, brothers, for being with us. Hassan Ali Nasir and Hussein. See you, inshallah. Nothing to say?
No.
Allah bless you, inshallah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi at-tahirin. Allahumma. صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Sheikh Baghir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr.
He was born in Kadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahrudi was...
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see...
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamari that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We're welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an introduction into the life and works of the Muslim Shiite personalities and ulama all across the world. I am Atta, the host of this program. I have two very special guest speakers for today's discussion, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about one of the most outstanding scholars of the 14th century Hijra, Muhammad Taghi Shirazi, also known as Mirzai Dovom or Mirzai Kuchak. He was the leader of the independence political movement of Iraq against the supremacy of Britain. We can say most of his fatawa and fatwas were issued against the Britain and the foreign powers' presence in Iraq. He was a very much committed scholar and alim, not limiting himself only to Islamic courses or the Islamic seminaries. Politically and socio-culturally, he was very much active. Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, let's start with you, brother. Give us some details about the early life of Muhammad Taghi Shirazi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, Muhammad Taghi Shirazi was known as Mirza, second Mirza, or Mirza Kuchik, and obviously he was in Iraq. About his initial life, it is said that Mirza Muhammad Taghi Shirazi was in Karbala, and there he started his educational life. And after that, he went to Samarra, where he has taken some lessons from the great Mirza, who was famous for his tobacco.
Yes, Mirza Hassan Shirazi.
Mirza Hassan Shirazi, yes. Who was famous about his fatwa of tobacco. Over there, obviously, he lived there, and he made many students. And obviously, his life was full of, we can say, like different activities, where he was involved with the immigrants who went to the Karbala. He was also involved with the people, the different tribes, who were obviously ready for resistance. And this made his, we can say like, you know, it made him a famous and popular personality. When we talk about his students, we can see like Agha Bozorg-e Tehrani, one of the great scholars, Abdul Karim Hayri, who basically based or who founded the, who put the foundation of Hawza al-Miyaqom after Najaf. These are from his students. We have Muhammad Jawad Balaghi Najafi from his students who wrote Allah al-Rahman. And there are many, many other scholars, Muhammad Ali Shah Abadi, Ayatollah Marashi Najafi, who is known because of his library. He's buried in Qom. These are from his students. So he was at the time when obviously the England, it tried to invade the Iraq, and obviously these were the scholars of that time who resist against such invasion.
That's all right. We know that. That's all right. After the demise of Mirza Muhammad Hassan Shirazi and also Akhund Khorasani, the Marja'iyat al-Am, or the general Marja'iyya, or custodianship of the Islamic seminaries, was on the shoulders of some ulama like Sheikh al-Sharia Isfahani, Sheikh Mahdi Khalisi, Sayyid Kazemi Yazdi, and also Muhammad Taghi Shirazi. Muhammad Taghi Shirazi, even during his Marja'iyya, felt very much responsible in order to defend the borders of Islam, especially in Iraq and in Iran. against the foreign powers, the British powers and the Russian powers. Sheikh Rouhani, I think this aspect of his life might be very much interesting, especially for those who do not think that Islam or Shia Islam might be a political one, because after the Islamic Revolution of Iran take place, most of the people think that, okay, Ayatollah Khomeini was the first one who, for example, founded this system, but it has a rich legacy, isn't it?
Yes, of course. As you know, one of the main principles of Islam is jihad.
Yes.
Struggling in the way of Allah to protect and defend Muslims against the enemy's attack. So that's why, based on this principle, you see that Ayatollah Muhammad Taqi Shirazi, in 1329 of Qamari, he actually, when the Russian forces attacked the north part of Iran, he actually issued a fatwa calling upon the people to defend themselves against the Russian attack.
Yes.
It was a very famous fatwa that was issued by him in that time. And also at the beginning of the First World War, when the coalition forces started fighting in war against, waged a war against Ottoman Empire. And so when they attacked the Ottoman areas, then when they came to the Fao, which is a city, I think, in Iraq.
Yes.
When they actually occupied this area, Fao, I mean, in Iraq.
Yes.
Then Mirza Muhammad Taqi Shirazi, at that time he was in Samarra, he issued a fatwa,
mm-hmm,
and invited the tribes and Ashair,
yes,
of Muslimin,
yes,
to start fighting against the British army, mm-hmm, in that area to defend their land and to actually protect their people against the Britishers.
That's
so
right.
These were the two very famous fatwa which were issued by this alim or this Shiite scholar. It shows that how much political is the position or status of Marja'iyah,
yes,
in the Shiite ideology or in the Shiite system of thought, because you see, whenever you are attacked by, or Muslims are attacked by the enemies, it is the responsibility of a marja'i taqlid, of the religious leader, to defend the people, to issue, mm-hmm, the fatwa. And also he, in one of these, let's say, battlefields, he sent his own son.
Yes.
Yeah, to defend the people,
yes,
and he accompanied him. So that's why supported him.
Muhammad Reza, his son.
Yes,
Muhammad
of course.
Reza Shirazi,
it shows,
right,
that, yes, this is one of the main responsibilities of,
yes,
Marja'i Taqlid,
okay,
to even wage war against the, mm-hmm, the enemy's attack when,
yes,
it is needed. Yeah, that's it.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah.
Founding of Jamaat al-Islamiyya or Jamiat al-Islami, Islamic Society, we can call it, okay, was one of the outstanding achievements of this outstanding man, writing letters to different leaders of Muslim lands and also United States of America in defense of the Islamic lands, okay? According to so many documents, he was very much concerned with rulership of the Muslims over Muslims and not the non-Muslims, for example, Britain. And we know that at that time, Britain, through his spies in Iran and the embassies, wanted to rule Islamic lands, especially through, for example, some economic contracts in Iran and some monopolizing, for example, some lands in Iraq. Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, in one of the most outstanding fatwas, we read that no Muslim has the right to select a non-Muslim as his ruler in the Muslim lands. This is an important fatwa of him. Let's talk a little bit about this aspect of his life.
Well, obviously, when we look at his political life, we can find this aspect in his letters which he wrote, the political letters. For example, like he wrote a letter to Sharif Hussein, who was the ruler of Hijaz at that time. And in that, he wanted him to support the society, the Islamic society, the Islamic society of the Iraq, so that because they're raising against or they're having resistance against the non-Muslims. On the other hand, he wrote a letter to the Amir Faisal, who was in Syria, in Damascus, and he asked him to convey the message of Sheikh and his supporters. Why? Because the Damascus had the access to the international media, and they were free. For example, if that, at that time it was radio and other source of means of the media, so they had open access to it. And he asked them, he requested them to convey our message to the world so that the world knows that the Iraqi people, they don't want the invasion of the Britons over them. Other than that, we can see like with Sheikh Sharia Isfahani, he wrote a letter to the USA, to the Americans, yes, the president of America, that all the people of Iraq, they want a new government which should be independent, number one. Number two, an Islamic independent state. Why? Because the Muslims are living here. And number two, they want to choose someone as a king, a Muslim king, who is bound to the Islamic rules and not someone who is a non-Muslim. They are not allowed to rule over the Muslims. So we can see from these letters that he was so concerned about it, and this idea that the Muslims can only rule the Muslims. This is true. Obviously, we know that even the Quranic teachings, the Islamic teachings is all about that. The reason is that when there is a ruler who is bound to the Islamic rules, Islamic laws, he, according to the Quran, must be a just person. Obviously, he look after the rituals of the Muslims. And obviously, there is no contradiction. For example, you know, we have people right now living in the West.
Yes.
Right? And they are the Muslims. They are free to, you know, observe or to practice their Islam. But the point is the environment in which they are.
Yes, yes.
That is not an Islamic environment. You know, for example, there is non-mahram. There is half-naked people. So a person who wants to observe Islam, who wants to practice Islam, where Islam says that the woman should cover herself, now there is a hurdle for this person to do that. Similarly, for the women, obviously, when they go to the work, there is a special dress code they cannot. So these are the reasons that we can see today, those who do not understand this, that what will happen if a non-Muslim ruler will rule a Muslim land? The reason is that a non-Muslim ruler will bring alcohol into the Muslim land. The non-Muslim ruler will bring the other things that contradicts with the Islamic laws. So when he is not bound to them, the people, you know, we have the hadith, "An-nasu ala dini muluki." The people are upon the religion of their kings. When the rulership is in the hands of a non-Muslim, then obviously there is a big chance of Muslims becoming non-Muslim.
That's right. So many letters were sent from the head of the tribes, because Iraq at that time was a tribal country, that, for example, the British and the Russian powers are attacking them and want them to yield to the orders of the British. What should we do? And Mirza, in his outstanding fatwa, had said that defending your rights and defending your movement, defending your people and your country is, we can say, an obligation for you. And if you yield up to their needs, to their orders, you are doing a haram action. And that's why, for example, the British powers on that time and the Britain on that time could not occupy so much.